Hello. I always kind of start that way. I should get a better line for opening up the conversation, eh? Instead of hello, like, is anybody there? Shit, I had a newspaper. I lost it. This is only hours, well, maybe 12 hours, from the time when I posted show number 200. So here it is. I guess this would be Dixon Jane's number 201. God damn it, those numbers just keep turning over. And it's like I've explained to you before, there's a feeling after I've posted a show that I really want to get back. It's like a PS and a letter. I always wrote long PSs. Oh, shit. I knew it was coming. You want to listen in? Hang on a sec. Yeah, hello. Yeah, I just called. Yeah. I can't come this morning. I'm on my way to my office, and I've got some work to do for Marg. So... no, but it's on my list of things to do this morning, too. It'll take time, but I'll do it this morning, before noon. So I said I will do it this morning, before noon. So she will have it. Now, is it going to go to you, or is it going to go to her? Why don't you email me her address, and I can send it directly to her. Otherwise, she's going to have to wait till you get it. So email me her email address, and I'll communicate directly with her. All right, and you take the bus and or whatever, and I'll see you later on. Yep. All right, bye. Yeah. Was that fun? It was number one. Son texted me this morning. It's interesting. Instead of calling, texted. It's a message. Can I come pick him up before noon? And I'm thinking, I'm doing a lot of chauffeuring around these days when there's a perfectly good TTC, and it's, it's not close. Why? I texted back. Why before noon? Because I got to see some friends. And fortunately, the man in me said, well, that's not fucking good enough. I didn't reply that. I just made it clear, no, I got work to do. Because it's not like, gee, Dad, I need a lift to the library because I got to get some resources for this paper that's overdue. No, he's going to see some friends. And I don't want to open up that can of worms or start that fight. But... it is annoying. I don't know, those of you out there who have parents, I know the ones of you who have little kids, oh my God, those days go by so fast, and they just do not remain little children under your care and control. You know, and it's such a precious, precious time. And I'm afraid our society, our Western society, our culture, steals childhood from our children far too early. I think it's a major moral crisis, and I think it's really very, very sad how quickly kids have to be tuned in and self-conscious and aware of their fashion, their clothes, their language, and fitting in. And this is just a tragedy, a travesty. And I don't know if there's any way of reclaiming it, of getting it back. It's just very, very upsetting. Anyway, whatever it is, you can't change all the forces of conformity and culture that surround you, but you can just enjoy those early days with your children. And as they grow up and you get through the teen years, oh boy, it gets a lot trickier. Now, I think I'm fairly lucky having two boys. It's just easier, and I'm kind of, you know me, just stupid enough to sort of turn a blind eye to what I have to, and I preach common sense, but I'm lucky. I've got two very good kids, and... oh, boy. Life is just easy for me. Don't you hate that?
Yeah.
Are we recording? Yeah. So, anyway, here I am in Buffers Park on a glorious Victoria Day. Long may she reign. Queen Elizabeth. Right on the edge of Lake Ontario. Like, just, you know, I could spit into the water right now. I wouldn't do that. Polluted enough as it is, but lovely with the ducks and the geese and the swans, and a bright sunny day with a cool breeze. It's absolutely perfect weather-wise, you know, these days. And I thought, I just can't go into this basement office right away. I've got to get some fresh air and talk to you a little bit. And share. Looking back, I turn my head behind me and I see the Bluffs. You know, this, honestly, if you've come to Toronto and you don't know Bluffers Park, and you don't know, you haven't made the trip out to Scarborough, you are missing something. Speaking of Scarborough, I had a rather distressing bit of information with regards to who smashed the rear window of my new Mazda. And I think it would come as a surprise to some of you. My only advice, I'm not going to point any fingers directly because I don't have proof, but I suggest you listen to the latest Canadian podcast, Bouffon, and hear what they have to say on that issue. Boy, oh boy, talk about holding grudges, you know. You make a joke and it comes back to bite you in the ass. So, anyway, park that for now. The other thing I really wanted to say, this is bizarre. I'm encouraging anybody out here who listens to the Dixon Janes podcast to have even more of me. But me in a different context. Me and Brent chatting, because it's different than it's fun. I think so, anyway. Doing it is fun, because we do it over beer. Listen to Gappage. And we've just posted one. I'm waiting for Brent to get off his lazy ass and get it up there for you to listen to. Hopefully he'll do that today. But I talked last time about, and it's a theme I revisit here, so I don't mind repeating it. You know, go listen to that show, but come back to me. I've talked about talking to strangers, you know, just sort of greeting people, you know, waiting for a train, and just smile and be friendly and disarm people if you can. I think it's important. And I pick and choose, you know, I don't hit on young women because they're just going to be uncomfortable that some creepy old guy's making moves on them. And so, I choose very carefully. But last time I talked and told Brent about this, a well-dressed man in his 50s, looked like anybody's dad or brother, but something a little bit off in the way he fidgeted. And so we got into a conversation. I started it and couldn't put an end to it after that. And he had said he was, going off to work and he delivers prescription drugs. And I thought, oh, that's an unusual job. And here's a guy doing TTC. And I said, oh, how do you do that? And it turns out he's taking the train to Union Station. Then he's got to go up to Midtown, which is Eglinton Young area, I guess. And then he said, sometimes I can walk to a lot of my deliveries, and sometimes I'll have to do the TTC. And I thought, gee, it's kind of unusual. There's something really odd here, something a little quirky. And then he said the line, he said, so you got to go to Union by GO train, because that's where we're waiting. And then I guess you got to take the subway up. And his answer is, oh yeah, we're not out of the woods yet. And that struck me, okay, whoop, here's a kind of a slightly warped statement, just a little different, like that didn't really apply. Like this was, and I'm taking it, this is a big job, you know, hey, just changing at Union, it's not that hard. But that same day, that was Friday. Now, yesterday I went through all the newspapers and catch up because I let them build up over the weekend. And I went to Friday's paper and read an article, same day, about this company, the, I can't remember the name, the Away, Away, I think. And they hire people who have had mental issues, either depression, nervous breakdowns, anxiety, and people have been treated, psychiatric problems, and these people, once they come back into the system for whatever, you know, post-traumatic birth syndrome, anything, these people can't get jobs very easily. As soon as somebody finds out you've had mental issues and you haven't worked for a few years, nobody wants to touch you. And so this wonderful company called Away, hires these people, and one of the jobs they have for them is to deliver prescription medicine to, you know, in and around the area. And these people feel it's a way of getting themselves back on their feet, restoring their dignity and their pride, and having a job. And I just find that so amazing that the one person I stood beside on the platform and started talking to on a Friday, and then noting, gee, there's something kind of funny here, and I couldn't get a handle on the guy. I mean, it wasn't mental retardation. It was just something strange, something broken. And then to talk about it on the show with Brent and find it kind of amusing but strange, and then to go back and find out in the newspaper that very same day was an article on the very same company hiring that very same type of person. I don't know. I find that interesting, this kind of synchronicity and coincidence that I'm more and more and more aware of ever since I started podcasting. And I think it's just, it's a question of tuning in. These things are happening all around us all the time, and we just don't always tune into it. And so, I don't know. I felt good that I approached him. I felt it strange. It brings out, and you've heard this from me before. What haven't you heard from me before? I'm starting to repeat. I really want to work with people like that. I really want to help people. Now, he doesn't need my help, and there's nothing I can do, and I can't offer jobs. I don't know, just feel some compassion for the broken, for the people who have been hurt, for the people who are decent but struggling, you know, and you just wish there was more you could do. And you can as a volunteer, but God damn it, who can afford to live as a volunteer? So, I don't know. Anyway, that's that, and it's just a glorious day, and I just wanted to catch up and keep this tie going. It's like when I post the podcast, the connection is broken. It's like hanging up the phone, and this is a redial. I'm calling you back because I don't want to let go, and I'm afraid that sounds awfully needy on my part, but I hope you understand. It's just, I just enjoy talking with you. I enjoy having people listening to me. I enjoy expressing myself or trying to express myself. This is a sheer pleasure. Sheer, that's a stupid adjective. Take that one out. Remove the sheer. This is just a simple pleasure to sit with a microphone and talk about all kinds of things. Okay, over and out. Bye-bye. I got to go to work, even though it's Queen Victoria Day or Victoria Day in Canada. And damn it, don't you assholes ever think of changing that to Prime Minister's Day. Oh yeah, and people will do that for votes, and damn it, when Queen Elizabeth dies, that will probably be the end of the monarchy, because nobody likes Charles quite the way I like Charles. And people are just quick to make changes. So anyway, I'm not going to open that up. I'm going to celebrate this lovely Victoria Day. There'll be fireworks tonight, which I probably won't go and see. And it's a great weekend to be camping. I'm not doing that, but I will be soon enough. And this Friday, it's Monday now. Friday, I'm on my way to Kingston to see Leonard Cohen in concert. So I am excited. Lots going on. Lots going on. Bye-bye. Cloudy, 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 cloud sound of running water in the background. And we're at a new place, a particular spot I have never podcast from before, but in a park where I know I have. This would be the general area, the Edwards Gardens. If you come along Lawrence, you'll find it. It's a huge, huge park area. I think any tourist to Toronto would find this and say, wow, gotta visit that spot. And I never do, and I pass it every single time I drive my son back to residence at Glendon. And tonight I just said, oh, it's a nice evening. Until I parked, the sun was out and it just looked beautiful. And so I've just come down a pathway I've never seen before. It's a beautiful smell of lilacs in the air. And it's really, really a gorgeous park. It's huge. Just full of trees and stream running through. So I thought I'd come down, and while I was here, why not talk to my podcast listeners? Because I had some things to say. And now that it's rolling, Bob, can't exactly remember what they were. I know it was about culture. I know if you listen to Gappage 002, the episode that Brent and I just put out, if you've listened to that, one of the sub-themes was culture. And something I wanted to say on that show and forgot, because again, it's not scripted, was my culture. Somebody asked me, you know, well, describe your culture. Like, what is it you connect with? Because we talked about, you know, how some people, it is the language, it is the traditions, it is the clothing, it is the food, it's the things you do at parties and weddings. And for a lot of us who've come over to this new land, our ancestors from other countries, and we've been in Canada perhaps for a few generations, maybe European ancestry, we're having to sort of make up a new culture. And people say, well, what's a Canadian? And we all struggle with that and, you know, give the usual, well, it's not an American, I'll tell you that much. But we really don't know. And so we try and find each other. And I think there's also, while that's going on, I think there's also a movement to identify with tribes and say, well, who do you belong to? What kind of people share your values and your belief system? And that's something we can do. I know mine for sure is a tolerance for pot, and is certainly not, it might be spiritual, but certainly not religious in the traditional sense. But if I was asked to pinpoint it, so well, give me an example. You know, how do you demonstrate your culture? How do you show it? I would say, well, you have to watch The Family Guy. You have to get to know Peter Griffin. And that's who I identify with. Now, maybe a few years ago, it might have been The Simpsons in their better years. Certainly not now. But Peter Griffin and The Family Guy, that whole show, it's a brilliant show to start with. There's Canadian writers on that, of course. But it's the way it pushes boundaries and the kind of humor. And what I mean is, my culture is a culture that understands, gets those jokes and those references, and is very tolerant of the vulgarity and the baseness and the lack of political correctness. And that's very important to me. And, you know, that's really the best answer I can come up with. Who is your culture? Well, my culture is Family Guy culture. Because I don't want to live in a country or ruled by people who don't get that or won't, you know, tolerate that. You know, and I thank God, of course, I'd be somebody else if I was born in another country. But once you have a taste of that kind of freedom of expression, you realize how important and how valuable it is. And that's kind of who I am. Does that make any sense? I hope so. It was meant to. It wasn't meant to be a joke. And I guess back, it's just after, it's the day after Victoria Day, and I know that's come up on a few shows, including my good friend Mr. John on the Log himself, talking about it. And I guess I don't like
changing and rewriting history. You know, yes, we did lock the Japanese up in internment camps during the war, and yes, there was a time when we did charge a head tax to the Chinese. And all these things, you don't go around undoing them, you can't. Yeah, the recognition was good. Hey, let's learn from our mistakes, yes. But the idea of changing things or doing away with some of the traditions, I'm not in favor of. I want to keep Victoria Day in Canada forever and ever, and I don't want the name changed. And we know it. It's about fireworks and getting drunk and opening up the cottage, and it's the May 2-4 weekend. That's Canadian. That's enough. And it's just a convenient handle to hang on it. But to go around to have politicians say, well, let's stir up some shit. You know, let's see if we can buy a few more votes by changing it and making it more relevant to Canadians. That is so much shit, in my opinion. Now, the thing is, what I would do is change the oath when you become a Canadian, if you're a new Canadian. I would not have Canadians pledge allegiance to the Queen of England. I'm happy to keep the Queen, bless her soul, as the Queen of Canada. I have no problem with that. It's a symbolic title. She doesn't come in and tell us what to do. It is our, certainly when I say our, and we have to say, oh, what does our mean? Watch it, boy, watch it. Well, it's Canada's history, okay? Yes, there were Aboriginal people here first, and then the French came, and then the English came, and then lots of other people came. But meanwhile, wars were fought, battles were fought, things were put in place. Victoria said, hey, that's where we're going to put the capital, not in Kingston, where the Americans can get at it, but at that little, you know, lumber town, Ottawa, right on the Ottawa River. That's a good place for our capital. So, this is our history. You don't just take it away because it doesn't seem current. History is not supposed to be current. But the allegiance would be to Canada, and I think we're going to have to do a better job of saying what is that. And the issue has come up in Australia. It's come up in Holland, of what is it to be a citizen of that country. And I think we do have to revisit that. Personally, I would do away with dual citizenship. I'd say, no, you get one. You want the Canadian one, you get it, you give up the other one. Go back, visit your family, that's fine. But you don't get both. You can't go back home and stay there, and then, you know, when your wife gets sick, decide it's time to come back to Canada or whatever, for the health care. You make a commitment. And you pick one or the other. That's a personal opinion. It might be ill-informed. It might be totally ignorant. I know all kinds of people say, no, that's wrong. But, no, that's the way I see it, until somebody can explain to me why people should be able to be Canadians and others at the same time. I think this is a wonderful country. I think people have to buy into it. And the multiculturalism is a wonderful thing. Hey, that's what I teach and what I celebrate and what I like. But you want to get ahead, you want to dig in, you want to commit to this country, you're going to need the language, and the government is going to have to do a better job of supporting language programs, which they're not right now. They're just pulling the funding away from all these things. And you're going to have to do a better citizenship test. So those are things, maybe, you know, I'd be very happy to have feedback and hear other opinions, because I know at least MMD, if no one else, will probably have something to say about this. So I guess that's it. I don't know. That wasn't a very pleasant thing to talk about, was it? Well, it wasn't unpleasant, but it was just not fun. But hey, did I say we were supposed to be having fun? No. I just said it's a nice little park here, and I thought I'd sit on a bench, enjoy the trees and the sound of water in the background, planes flying overhead, and talk to you a little bit before heading home. Oh, I know what I did want to talk about. Of course. The whole point of all this, mental illness. We started off on that, remember, when I talked about that man on the I talked to, and how fragile people are and how sad it is when people do have a breakdown or have some sort of mental, I don't know, damage done. It's very, very hard to get back to a normal life, and people around you are always maybe afraid you're going to lose it again. And it's around me. It's around my family, we heard a very interesting, if anybody, and I don't think many of you are, but if you're a listener to this show and also a listener to Foreskin Radio, that would be Adam Grietrix, the man who does Transpondency, another great podcast you should be listening to, you would have heard a very, very vociferous argument between him, Dr. Lickalotopus, I should say, and Professor Best Testes, regarding talking to a man who claimed to be Jesus, and they went and spit on both of them, which was not a very Jesus-like thing to do, and their varying takes on how do you handle the crazies who are amongst us. That was a very, very interesting battle. Of course, Dr. Lickalotopus made reference to having first-hand experience with this. And, you know, it's certainly been around me, and I know when I was feeling very fragile and broken or able to be broken and at West and went to my first psychiatrist and did all that time in group therapy to help put me back together. I'm very grateful for it. Unfortunately for me, I didn't need medication, and I still don't, other than heart and cholesterol. But my son is on medication for anxiety, and he had a kind of a bad spell yesterday. I won't get into all the details now. He doesn't remember any of it. He just knows something bad happened. And it was a case of having an anxiety attack on the subway and then taking a pill and not feeling the immediate effects, so taking another and another. And having three of these pills that are meant to calm you right down and really, really, really slowed him right down. And then arriving at his friend's place, where he was supposed to be, and had one drink of vodka and was completely whacked out. They say on the medication, do not take with alcohol. And he said, well, one drink. And when he first phoned me, first of perhaps a dozen phone calls in a row, and each one not realizing he had just called a minute or two before, he sounded as drunk as I've ever heard anybody. Like stumbling, slurring drunk. And that was the effect. And I was sure, oh my God, he's wasted. How did he do that? And he finally called me to come and get him. And he was with good friends, fortunately. And he was just, he could not stand. He could not talk. He could not walk. He could not function. He could not hold anything. He was just in a terrible, terrible state. And it was that, you know, the combination, I believe, what triggered it all off was perhaps that mix of the alcohol. But on top of some heavy-duty medication that he should not have taken three of on top of it. It was not deliberate. It was just, I'm panicking. I'm in a situation. And he had called me earlier that day when it was happening. And we spent a lot of time together. And, you know, sadly today, as I drove home, he said, I don't remember any of it. But at the time, we felt great love for each other. And I felt very, very close to him. And I had to, like, bring him down. I had to help him. I couldn't bring him home. I didn't want my wife to see him in this condition. And he just was unable. It was just barely able to get him into the car and sit down. And I took him to the Sermon on the Mount, the spot where I do the podcasting. I just knew instinctively, intuitively, I just had to create an aura of calm and support and love around him. And I took him, drove him to that spot and explained, this is where I podcast from. See that little park across the way? That's where I pretend all the people are sitting on blankets listening. And he just, in his state, he was in the present, but nothing would trigger. Like, he had a conversation with a friend and then had no idea a minute later that he had been on the phone. But in that moment, he was able to look out and see what I was seeing in my spot in front of the Civic Center and understand why it was precious to me and how it was precious to him. And I said, I want you to remember that one day when I'm gone, to come back and remember this is where your dad used to do his podcast from. And then I took him from there to the other place where I've been podcasting from recently, which was Bluffers Park. And we were able to enjoy the view of Lake Ontario and the bluffs up behind us. And spent some very, very, very precious time. And I felt the way a parent feels when you have unconditional love for your child and when you're there when they are in need. You know, I like talking like this because you have a story. You know, like I had an incident that happened yesterday and I really had to make the call whether I was going to share that with you or not. I was a little private. I was a little close. I don't know how my son would feel, but... excuse me. He knows where I'm coming from. He knows what I do. And because I screen my listeners and only good people listen to the Dixon Chains podcast, I shouldn't be afraid to share something tender with you. And it was very, very, very tender. I felt very good that I was there for him, because at the time he really needed me, and he just kept repeating, "Dad, I love you." I couldn't ask for a better dad, and he just kept saying that, and it was just, I mean, I wasn't going around looking for praise, you know, and I confessed to some of the mistakes I've made in bringing him up at the time, to my shame, my utter shame, when my wife and I locked him in the car while we had to run into a store to get something, which was, we had just moved here, and I don't think we got all the rules, and it's something we could be arrested for now, and rightly so, and I just didn't realize that even as a child he had some anxiety, and we left him crying in the back seat while we went in to get something we needed, and if I could undo that moment, my God, I'd undo it. And in fact, a woman came by and just scolded us, as she was so right to do. You know, you do things like that, and you feel ashamed. And I can just picture that little boy crying, and oh my God, it's terrible. It was wrong. And then when I first found out that he actually had this anxiety, when we were driving into a disposal unit in East York to get rid of garbage from the house set from renovations or something, we had to return him. We got in this long queue of cars. He said, "Dad, I got to get out of here." And I'm just saying, "Hey, you can't. I mean, I'm in a queue. I got to get through. I got to pay for this stuff. I got to unload this. Dad, I can't. Get me out of here. Get me out of here." And he completely freaked, like a wild animal in a cage. And one of the men came over, you know, saw this kid stressed out. And I'm thinking, you know, just get with it, man. Get out and snap out of it. Come on. There's nothing wrong. Not understanding at all that he was going through acute, severe anxiety. And that was the turning point. From that point on, I realized, oh, something's wrong here. This is serious. And fortunately, we went to our family doctor, who referred him to a psychiatrist, who was a wonderful man. I met several occasions, and then he's referred him to a social worker, who he sees quite often, and this is good. The medications, I believe, have helped, certainly, when he doesn't inadvertently abuse them. He tried to get off them. He said, "I don't like this. I hate the effect of these medications. I'm going to stop." And of course he stopped, and then, wow, his behavior is just like bouncing off the walls from this, you know, because you can't mess with this stuff once it's in your system. Anybody better informed than I am, like a Dr. Dave, would understand what I'm talking about. But I guess my message to all of that was, I felt this tremendous love and compassion for my son. And I say son, and I know, and you know, I have two sons, and every time I talk about the one son, I feel a little guilt, like, do you think I'm neglecting the other? And I'm saying, no, he just doesn't need me in the same way that number one son needs me. Number two son is a different character, who's strong in his own way, and has made it quite clear who he is and who he isn't. And he and I have a different kind of communication, and it's also very, very special, and I enjoy very much the exchanges we have on a completely different note, and I value them, and they're just shorter and more concise and just of a different nature, because he is and our relationship is, and yet I know in the future it will be a good relationship, and I'm proud of both my boys. So there you go. I don't know. That was something a little different, wasn't it? I didn't know I was going to go there, but I had to. And I hope you are empathetic, I guess, in your listening and understanding and compassionate. And I know many of you out there, I know some of my listeners have, you know, anxiety issues and deal with depression and other things. And I guess that's the theme of this particular podcast, that these are things we all have to deal with and we need to be understanding of and supportive of and caring about. So, that's it. It's 20 minutes. I gotta go. You gotta go. You gotta get into something different. I guess you need some music, don't you? So I'll play something, won't I? And we'll find out soon. Take care. Bye for now.
Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Gonna find me somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. You ran around with every girl in town, and you never cared if you got me down. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Gonna find me somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. I lost my money and I lost my pride. Didn't have much fun, but I really tried. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now.
It is CBC2, and they are, sorry while I grab the mic with my hands, they are doing a marvelous job. CBC2, check it out sometime, especially in off hours. I listened in the morning, some good music and interesting talk, and then, wow, they get out into left field at night. And that's kind of where I am right now. Excuse me. I'm actually parked in the sermon spot once again. Can you believe it? How many times this week?
From his release, Strange Liberation. That's Dave Douglas.
In Scarborough, outside the front, the Civic Center, of course. Having just dropped Number One Son. I say that because I used to like watching Charlie Chan movies. You know, the old black and white ones set in the wartime, I guess. Warner Oland played the part. Fat Charlie Chan, he had many sons, and they're all... one of them is fairly famous. Anyway, that is a tangent, folks, because what I'd like to tell you God, if I could only get control of my words. Is how special tonight is, was, will be. It was a real keeper. Tonight was a real crossing of a bridge. It was meaningful. And you're saying, yeah, dude, get on with it. And I'm saying, hey, sorry, really like to make this clear. Oh, man. Yeah, I've told you before, this podcasting thing, it's self-selective, you know? You don't like something, you move on. You go find something else. And you let the people who are doing it do their thing. Well, tonight, I gotta tell you, we did our thing, my son, myself. We went to see John Yoko Bed Peace. And if you're in Toronto or from outside and you're coming into Toronto sometime between June 7th, you'd be really, really, I'd say making a mistake by not going. I'll go out on a limb, I'd say that. You got a chance to see this and you're in the right frame of mind, you know, you want to be open to it, not because you were told to go, but because you're in for a good experience. What you want to do is see a recreation of John and Yoko in the Queen Elizabeth Hotel in Montreal in 1969, having their bed in for peace, and the host of characters who visited, Al Capp, Tom Smothers, Timothy Leary, and others, and the CBC, of course, on hand to film it all. It was beautifully done. It was twice as good at best as I thought it would be. Because I went in thinking, okay, well, I know the story, and I don't know how she's going to do it. And, you know, it could be a little hokey. I don't know. It was unbelievably good. I am so impressed. I believe her name is Tricia York. She also did another hero of mine, in an odd way, F. Scott Fitzgerald. And that led her to this project, and she nailed it. She did it so well. From the time you went up there and you got into character, so you joined this line up above, you're looking down, you walk into the theater and you're looking down in the basement, and there's John and Yoko on the bed already, you know, 7 o'clock, children start to eat. And John and Yoko are sitting there on the bed, lying there, and you're looking around, wow. And there's all these kind of comfy chairs and sofas and beanbags and things put around, and you know, oh, those are going to be the audience seats, that's where we're going to go, right in front. Jerry and I eyed our seats and said, that's where we're going. And I was first in line and just grabbed a comfortable armchair that was meant for me. So I was totally comfortable the whole show. And then the fellow playing the MC welcomed people up to the stage if you wanted to get a picture with John and Yoko. You go, it's part of this play. Yeah, I'm into that. So this officially, folks, marked the beginning of our trip to Vancouver. This was the official start. I picked him up at residence at Glendon. We went out. We found a place that I suspected at one point was an all-lesbian restaurant. I couldn't figure it out. There must have been five beautiful waitresses, but not in the, just in a nice girl sense. I mean, it was crazy. But we looked around, and we were the only two guys there. It was all women. Finally, at the end, one family came, a couple and two daughters. But it was really good. It was a vegan place. It was called Fresh, right on Queen West here. Couldn't give you the address. Near Ossington. And excellent food. He had Jamaican spinach soup, and I had a wrap with tofu and everything else. Both, you know, vegetable meals, and we each had a beer together. And we said, this is it. This is the official beginning to our trip. We're going to have a meal together, and when we finish the trip, when we come back to Toronto together at the very end of it, we'll go out again and have a meal together to mark the official end. So what a way to begin a trip than to go and see a play about John and Yoko, something my son and I share. You know, hey, I was there for the real time. He's just in the mood, you know, 19-year-old now, sucking all this stuff up. What a perfect play to go together for our first play, and not only that. And here's where you have to buy into this thing. I was really awkward about the pot thing. Like, my friends out west smoke pot. I'm going to be smoking pot out west, you know, with Adam and with Barnacle Bill. And it's going to be part of my life. And, you know, eating some brownies with the others. And And my son's going to be there, too. And up to now, we both, I'm totally accepting of him smoking. Tell him to, you know, keep it in perspective, keep it down. But didn't feel comfortable with us doing it together. I felt like it would be driving a wedge in our family. Well, tonight we realized we just got to keep that wedge quiet. Here I am podcasting about it, but he brought it up, and I had been thinking in the car the whole way down, shit, you know, I'm going to enjoy this play more if I have a little toke. Like, I'm really going to get in the zone. I need a little toke. He brings it up, Dad, are we going to go back by the car? And I said, no, why? Not necessarily. I got a little dope in there. I'd really like to have a toke before we go. And I thought, okay, hey, symbolically, we've already started this trip to Vancouver. We've had the meal together. We're going off to this play. If there was ever a time to cross that bridge, it was tonight. Walk down the alley. He's taking pictures of all the beautiful graffiti, works of art, all of it. And we just toot up and wind our way back after walking all the way down to the Gladstone and enjoying Queen Street West. Go in, and both of us totally got off on that play. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I thought that was worthy of sharing a view, because on this particular podcast, you will have heard the concern I had for the freakout he had. And, you know what's ahead in my life. And this is all so much meant to be, this trip to Vancouver and this, him and I being close in a way that I feel really good that you don't always get a father and son being close. And if somebody thinks that's wacky, like, hey, dude, you got to play the role of father. Well, I am. But eventually, you want it to be about friendship and love and care and not too much bullshit, not too much artifice, you know? And we both know that. Both groove on that. Both got into that. So I hope you do too. I hope you understand I'm not perhaps doing a very good job expressing this as well as I wanted to in my head. I really wanted you to understand how important this was tonight. And I guess I just kind of forced myself to tell you. I guess I could have snuck it out, but there you go. Not only that, I hear The Rock will be joining us on the trip west. The Rock. Yeah, that one. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The Rock. Yeah. Anyway, the start-off picture, which you'll see when you're listening to this on the blog, is us with John and Yoko. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just such a perfect, wonderful start? Because, man, I'm telling you, when she nailed it, she got that whole piece vibe of all what it was about. And she really did a really super good job putting this play together. And the actors, 15 of them on stage by the end, about that, did a marvelous job. Like live singing between, you know, set changes and stuff. Well, there were no set changes. All on the bed in the Queen Elizabeth Hotel room. But, you know, scene changes of a sort. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I recommend you go see it. DM me or email me or contact me somehow if you'd like to know more. All right, that's it. Shutting her down. I just want to tell you, it's all good. Bye for now. Take care. So long. Hello. I'm back. Got the microphone set to low sensitivity so you won't hear that very annoying jet ski in the background. Boy, I would have those and leaf blowers banned if it was the first thing I was in charge of. Well, that'd be after legalizing pot, but yeah, they'd be out of here. Those industries could find something else to do. Maybe make old-fashioned brooms or something. Folks, I'm on, I guess, the St. Lawrence River. It's in Brockville. And you've been to Brockville with me before, so don't act surprised. It's I've just left Kingston this morning and just saw the sign for Brockville. And I knew in the back of my mind, I was sitting beside somebody from Brockville last night. So Brockville's been in my mind. And we even talked once. I was thinking about just packing it all up in Scarborough and moving to Brockville, you know, buying a condo here and starting a new life. And fortunately, I guess I thought better of that, or thought no more of that, and I've parked that for a while. But I'm still drawn back to this town. It's a lovely, lovely little town here in Ontario. And I'm on my way to Oxford Station. Ooh, giving away lots of specifics here to meet my niece and nephew and have a few beer and a good time and see my brother and maybe my sister. Do some family things before heading on that trip out west. It seems very important to head back east, say hellos, goodbyes, and then be off next Friday. It is Saturday, the morning after the Leonard Concert Cohen, or change it around and you could have the Leonard Cohen Concert in Kingston. And I am still high from the concert. This is going to be a little bit difficult because I really don't want this to sound like one of those yes, I saw Leonard Cohen, you probably didn't, you're a stupid loser, I am the winner. No, we don't want to do that. Leonard wouldn't have appreciated that because his message was clearly oh, so beautiful, about love and giving and kindness and peace. The man is a living God. He is amongst us. We have a God. I would say, my own humble opinion, the finest living Canadian. And absolutely, without a doubt, the greatest concert I have ever seen, been to, experienced. Absolutely, without a doubt, bar none, and there will be nothing ever to top this. He was at the top of his form at the age of 74, and you think, oh, he's just not going to be able to pull it off. Or you hope he can, but you wonder. He was amazing. If some of you have seen this concert, I know Sean, AJ, out in Edmonton, who doesn't listen, but if he did, he'd agree with me because I know he saw him. And that was one of the little extra factors that said, man, I guess you better pay attention. You're not going to get another chance. And sure enough, they had a few tickets available. I ended up having a wonderful seat. They had two big screens. I know. I'm sorry. I could talk for 2 hours on that concert. And it might be boring for you. And it's all I've done is talk about it since leaving the theater, or the arena, actually. And it was a new arena, and it was a nice one. The, what, K Music or K something or other, whatever Kingston's radio station is. K-Rock, I believe, yeah. My God. Now, some of you will be going and seeing him in London. Some of you already saw him in Hamilton. Some are going Monday to see him in Ottawa. My first, you know, lots of people think, oh, $150, that's a lot of money. Think what you pay in legal fees. And here you are getting, for $50 an hour, you are getting Canada's finest. Now, I'm not just talking Leonard Cohen. I'm talking about every musician he had on stage, every singer, every instrumental solo, everything about this concert, including Leonard skipping on and off the stage, skipping, dancing. I'm honestly, I don't exaggerate. I'm stunned. I'm in awe. I'm near tears for the finest, and his message and his talk to the audience and his humbleness, his obvious, his highness. I'll have to end there. I'm sorry. Folks, and again, I hate this. I mean, the one thing I realized very, very strongly is, boy, I've got to shed myself of ego. A lot of it, I've got a lot of paring down to do. And when I talk to you and tell you about, you know, things that seem wonderful in my life, and this was, and it's ridiculous to, if I'm going to share my bummer moments with you, I'm going to also share with you my highs. This week has been the most remarkable week I can remember in a long, long time. And I guess perhaps there's no point in going on about it. The musical, The Music Man, I saw Wednesday, that had me in tears at the end because every single high school student singing, dancing, playing their instruments was giving it 100%, and I felt like rejoicing. These students are giving it their all. I'd look at the face of somebody in the third row back, and they weren't just lip-syncing, they were singing full out like they had to do their best. The young man who played the role of the music man was brilliant and has a career ahead of him. Just everything was good about that evening. And then the next evening, I just told you about, with number one son to see John and Yoko, and I wrote to the director and I said, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. And I've already told you that. Wow, surpassing. And then the next evening, the third evening, to see Leonard Cohen, it's just higher and higher and higher. But the beauty was, of each of those performances, everybody involved was giving, was sharing, was doing something they're good at and giving it to other people through the concert, through the play, through the musical. And that's such an encouraging, such a wonderful thing to have other human beings doing good things, giving of themselves, giving and sharing. And that was Leonard's message. If any way, this podcast can be considered me giving something to you, that would make me just oh so happy. Because it often feels like I'm taking your listening. And I really want to be giving, and sometimes it's hard to know what it is I'm giving that is of any value. But, oh, if I'm just, it's like a transcendence. Something happened. Something wonderful. And I just feel so, oh, bloody, 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 wrong word, wrong word, wrong word, wrong word, but just so damn happy about being alive, about being in Canada, about being safe and comfortable, about being able to receive wonderful gifts from wonderful people. Stay with my friends. Alvin and Brady, I've told you about them. They had the annual Christmas party that I love to go to here in Kingston. Stayed with them last night, and we shared the love. Alvin was the one who got the ticket for me when I called and said, any left? Brady, a wonderful, wonderful, generous spirit, always, always, always giving. People in Kingston know her for her special food and samosas and things that she gives out or sells to restaurants, and had her own little takeout business here. Alvin, my guru from way back, who I traveled through Mexico with, reliving the stories last night with his two young daughters at the table of how their father had led us through the cow pastures to pick the psilocybin mushrooms so that we could go to Palenque, the ruins, and hallucinate. For 8 hours, 10 hours. Sharing, loving, caring, kind people. And boys and girls, that is what it's all about. Oh, I hope, I wish I can get that message across. I hope, I wish you're receptive and understanding of what I'm trying to say. Be kind. That's what Leonard Cohen ended with. Be kind. Be good. Be kind. And that is what it's about. So I had to come all the way to Brockville to tell you this. Here on the waterfront on a bench looking out at this inlet, this river. Could that be? No, that's not New York, surely. I'll have to get my map out and see exactly where I am, but I am on water and I love it on water. And so ends probably another podcast. And the journey continues. There's more good things coming. Good things coming my way. I hope there's good things coming your way, and if they're not, I hope you do whatever it is that's necessary to help to make those good things come your way. Because it's wonderful to be blessed. Bye-bye.